tonight that we could study and have this time together before the work week begins. This being the first day of the week that which belongs to the Lord, we want to honor and praise Him. In the book of John, in the 13th chapter, I want us to examine a passage in verse 22. John 13 and verse 22. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom He spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom He spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "It is He to whom I give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." And having dipped the bread, He gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. What a scene on the last night in the life of Jesus Christ. You know, if you were to think that this was the last day that you would live, what would you do? And I tell you, one thing you'll find that Jesus did was not only wash the feet of the disciples, but in the final night, Jesus there partook of the Passover feast, institutes the Lord's Supper. And we see a great contrast between the old and the new as Jesus is telling them, this is what you will do in My kingdom. That you'll no longer be fulfilling the law of Moses, but after My death, My kingdom will come into a place and you will be partaking of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Me. But then you look and you'll find in Judas one living in darkness and in evil, and there is a man with great darkness in his heart and a great separation between him and the Lord. Then you see a great contrast in John. There is John full of light and love and goodness, and notice the Bible says that he leans on the breast of Jesus. One with desire to betray and sell Christ, the other with the desire to be near Lord and to enjoy fellowship with Him. And when we consider the scene before us and witness John leaning on Jesus, it should become our desire to be near the heart of God like John. I know I've referenced this passage, but I don't think I've ever preached on this. So tonight, I want to talk about leaning on Jesus. The first thing I want to put into our heart is the fact the desire should be there to lean on Jesus. In our observation of John, we see what should be the desire and pattern for every believer to be near the heart of God. Notice where John was leaning on the breast of Jesus, near His heart. And notice, my friend, you recognize our unworthiness and sinfulness to reach such a place of fellowship, to be near the heart of Christ. However, it was Jesus Himself who made such a position possible for us. We're unworthy to be in such a place, but it was Christ who justified us by His blood. Now, we understand the Lordship of Jesus. We humbly bow at His feet. We are humble in His presence. We're meek in His presence. But we also need to learn to lean on Jesus and rest in Him with full confidence and assurance of His tender love. Now, for a few moments, let us observe what leaning on the breast of Christ implies. First of all, when you look at John leaning on Jesus, we need to learn that it implies total dependence upon Him. I must completely rely on Christ. Do you recognize tonight when it comes to salvation, I have an opportunity to obey the gospel. He gives me that opportunity. But I want us to understand, my friend, that without Christ, I have no hope of salvation. I can lean on no other for salvation from my sins except for Christ. He alone can provide what I need, freedom from sin, forgiveness of sin. If it was not for the blood of Jesus Christ, I would still be in my sin. And if it were not for the fact that Jesus willfully and deliberately shed His blood and then went up on the cross and died for me, and I did not come to Christ in obedience, I would be separated from Him. And so tonight we need to be continually reminded, if we're children of God, that all the strength and consolation is found in confiding with Christ, leaning on Him, trusting my Savior in everything and for everything. If I'm going to serve Him with joy and a free heart, my faith must be in Him. I must trust His grace to forgive me. I must trust His providence, His strength when I'm facing heartache and trials. I must trust that His blood has redeemed me from sin. I must assure myself that He does love me and has demonstrated it by His sacrifice. I must learn of His loving kindness, that He does not disappoint nor does He deceive. And my friend, whatever else and whoever else may fail me, He never will. And so this evening I would put into my heart and your heart that when I lean on Jesus, it implies my total dependence upon Him. That there is no other name under heaven given of men and let that we might be saved, as it said in Acts 4:12, only through the blood of Jesus Christ. I must lean on Jesus for salvation. Do you recognize, my friend, without Jesus, there would be no salvation? But secondly, my friend, when I look at one leaning on Jesus, this position is one of separation from the world. If I'm leaning on Christ and delighting in my fellowship with Christ, then why would I join myself to the world who opposes Christ? Why would I mingle in the passing pleasure of the world that crucified Him? I cannot be near the heart of Christ and have the world near my heart. Either I'm near the heart of God or my heart is filled with enmity toward God. You know how I know that? Open your Bible to the book of James in the 4th chapter. In James chapter 4, James is writing, and James says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." I choose if I'm going to be a friend of God or if I'm going to walk in the world. And if I lean on my Savior and I spend my life leaning upon His goodness and I love my time with Him, I'll tell you, my friend, it will give me joy. I understand tonight, my friend, I cannot have the world and Christ too. If I go where I must, leave Christ at the door and do not desire His presence with me, I should mourn His absence. And the place of sin, the place by the heart of Christ, are two different places. Do I truly want to be at His side? You know, there's some who've gone to prison, suffered death to stay in His presence, and I must turn away from Christ to go into the far country of sin. I cannot lean on Him and continue in sin at the same time. I cannot be so near Christ and then be engaged in what He died to take away from me, my sin. I can't do that. You know, some people want to claim and will sing, "I'm a friend to Jesus." But my friend, if you never worship God and you never follow God's commandment, you remember Jesus said that I call you my friend because you keep my commandments. There are some that claim Jesus is their friend. My friend, they're not even acquaintances with Jesus because they do not lean upon Him. But thirdly, leaning upon Christ implies the place of wisdom. It's here that I learn the secrets of divine truth. When I lean upon His Word and what He has revealed to me through the Scripture, what the Holy Spirit has given to us and has been revealed and written down, then, my friend, I am near the heart of God. When I pray, I'm near the heart of God. I sometimes wonder if we appreciate the fact that we can pray. I sometimes wonder if we appreciate the fact that God has left His Word for us. Sometimes our faith is weak, and you know what we need to do? We need to take the Word and have our faith built up by the Word. We need to pray that God be with us. And I'll tell you what that is. That's leaning on Jesus. That is going to the place of wisdom. That is going to the One who can help us through. But I'll tell you something else. Open your Bible back to the book of John, and this time the 10th chapter. And when you come to John chapter 10 and you think about leaning on Jesus, notice what Jesus had to say. When Jesus in John 10 talks about His sheep, notice verse 29. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I like that statement. I look at a sheep being safe, resting in the arms of the shepherd. And Jesus makes that comparison with His disciples. That if we abide in His love, He will keep us safe. Now my soul is safe as long as I'm in Christ, as long as I lean on Christ. Now notice, no one can snatch you out, but I'll tell you what can happen. You can purposely and willfully leave the arms of Jesus. And there have been people who've done that time and time again. There have been people who willfully choose to no longer be safe in the arms of Jesus. But I'll tell you, my friend, when you get down in life, what a joy to lean on Jesus and know that I'm safe from the assaults of the enemy. Now, the enemy's still going to attack. I know that. But I do know one thing. I want to be near Christ when the enemy's there, so I'll have someone to lean on. You know, the psalmist said that Christ is my fortress. Or he talks about God being my fortress. And he talks about God being the protection in time of need. By myself, I'm too weak and too frail to make the proper stand. But if I'm in Christ, I have the strength I need to make the proper stand. Now, someone may say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, what did Paul say in Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. Sometimes we use that to mean something in the world of physical things, sporting or something. That's not what he's talking about. I can take a stand spiritually because I am in Christ. And I can do all things through Christ. I don't give in to the world. I don't follow the world because my strength comes from God's Word and my prayer life and standing and leaning upon the Word of God. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Do you just see John leaning back on Jesus? Have you ever in your mind tried to picture that? Jesus is just hours from the cross and there's John leaning on Him. What a precious picture. But I'll tell you something else. When you lean on Christ, it's a position of holiness. In abiding by the heart of the Lord, I'm able to be more like Him. If I'm separated from Him, as Judas was, then I do not act like Him nor reflect His glory. It's interesting. Where does it say about Judas? He went out and it was night. Darkness had entered his soul. But what does Jesus tell His disciples? You are the light of the world. Light, my friend, is that which takes away darkness. Anytime you put light, light illuminates. Light is what is seen. But I want you to think about something else. In this life, I may face many trials, troubles, tribulations. I'm passing through this life as a pilgrim, as an alien. I, as Peter said, am just passing through, is the song we often sing. This world is not my home. What? I'm passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Remember, Paul said our citizenship is in heaven. I'm passing through this world to get home. Now I lean upon Jesus in the midst of sorrows, cares, and trouble. But then, in that day of glory, I shall lean upon Him in a world where a cloud never darkens the sky, and I shall ever be with the Lord. Isn't it beautiful? to think about leaning on Jesus. Now, you know what, my friend? If you're in the world, you can't lean on it. Because sin separates us from God. We have to remove the barrier so we can be reconciled and lean on the breast of Christ. If you're here tonight and you've never put on Christ, our prayer is that you would obey the gospel message and you would lean on Jesus and that He would take you home. As together we stand and sing, we cordially invite you.